straight up to my face. I've been down so long, it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face. Something ain't right when we talking. Something ain't right when we talking. Look like you hiding your problems. Really, you never was solid. No, you can't sun me. You won't ever get to run me. Just look, gotta reach, I reach back like 1-3, like 1-3. Yeah. That's when they smile in my face. Whole time they wanna take my place. Whole time they wanna take my place. Whole time they wanna take my place. Yeah, I know they wanna take my place. I can tell that love is fake. I don't trust a word you say. How you wanna click up after your mistakes? Look you in the face and it's just not the same. I've been down so long it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face. I've been down so long it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face.
Mic check, check. Good afternoon and welcome to What's Shaking. I'm DJ Cheeks. And today we... Hello, let's try this again. Good afternoon and... This is DJ Cheeks here at radio.dominican.edu. Welcome to What's Shaking. Today we have a lot packaged for you guys, and I hope you guys stay tuned for the whole hour because it's going to be a lot going on today. We have a lot to cover and a lot of very, very exciting shaking stuff in the media and especially here at Dominican. Today, up and coming, we have a big guest, and he's not here yet, but when he gets here, I'm going to introduce him to you guys. But up until then, I want you guys to listen to one of my favorite songs at the moment. It's by Drake. It's called Fake Love, and I really love it, so I'm going to play for you guys. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Straight up to my face, trying to play it safe. Vibe switch like night and day. I could see a light right away. I came up, you changed up. I caught that whole play. Since then, it's never been the same.
That's when they smile in my face. Whole time they wanna take my place. Whole time they wanna take my place.
Whole time they wanna take my place.
Yeah, I know they wanna take my place. I can tell that love is fake. I don't trust a word you say. How you wanna click up after your mistakes? Look you in the face and it's just not the same. I've been down so long it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face. I've been down so long it look like up to me. They look up to me.
I got fake people showing fake love to me, straight up to my face.
Straight up to my face.
All right. I'm just gonna update you guys on what we have coming up today, and before my big guest, and as he stated, he is big on campus. Before he gets here, I'm gonna update you guys on what's shaking around campus here at Dominican. This past weekend, volleyball just slid into the second place, and that's super exciting. They're doing the best they've ever done in school history, so they're breaking history, which is amazing, and I'm really, really proud of those girls because they worked hard for that. And going off of that, if you're just tuning in, this is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Cheeks, your host for today, for the next hour. Coming up after me, we have DJ Gaines. You guys should stay tuned for her. She's really good. And after her is DJ Beefcake. And after DJ Beefcake, we have DJ Duncan, one of my good homies. You guys should also tune in for that. And going off of that, on this Friday, we have a volleyball game against Point Loma, and every volleyball game from now on matters, so you guys should definitely check that out. Volleyball game against Point Loma on Friday. On Saturday, we have volleyball game against Fresno Pacific. On Monday, we have a volleyball game against Hawaii Hilo, and that game on Monday is senior night, so it's super important to go out there and support the seniors. It's their final home game wearing a Dominican jersey, and it's a big statement, so make sure you guys support them. And going off of that, as I've always prepped you guys for, next week on Wednesday, November 16th, the men's basketball team has their home opener against Chico State, and you guys definitely have to go out there and support them, because, as I said, my homeboy DJ Duncan, him and his squad have very exciting things for you guys, and make sure you guys tune in for that. And as you all know, as I told you guys, really disappointed as next Friday, the women's basketball team, which I happen to be on, is no longer having a game on Friday, November 18th. I know, super sad. I was really upset about that too. But we are having a game on Saturday, November 19th. And if we're friends, if we're foes, anything, you guys have to tune in. You have to be there. It's a big home opener, November 19th at 5:30. Everybody has to be there because it's going to be great. Oh, and guys, my guest is finally here. The one and only Dean of Students, Paul Racanello. I believe I said his last name.
You did.
Right. Before I put him on, I want to tell you guys a little bit about him. He's a little late, but it's okay.
Sorry. He,
as he stated, he's a big deal on campus, so he can do whatever he wants. Just a little history. Paul is the Chief Student Affairs Officer at Dominican. He's responsible for staff programs, budgets, and overall leadership and direction for the Division of Student Affairs. Career and internship services, campus ministry, resident life, student activities, and leadership. He pretty much covers everything, but none as important as being the Dean of Students. So welcome to What's Shaking? Are you...
That's the name of it? What's Shaking?
What's Shaking with DJ... Cheeks.
That's
me.
All right. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yes, we're super excited to have you. Can you talk into your mic a little more? I just turned you up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
There we go.
Perfect. thank you for joining us. Before I get straight into the interview, can you tell us a little about yourself, how you got to Dominican?
How'd I get to Dominican? I graduated from Dominican, the class of 1996. Best class ever in the history of Dominican.
That's when I was born.
That's when you were born. I know. That makes me old and you not so old. My career in higher ed actually started at Dominican. After graduation, I became an admissions counselor, and I did that for about 5 years. I thought I was going to go back to school, get my teaching credential. For a while, I wanted to be a kindergarten teacher. I thought that would have been really fun. Wow. And now I work with college students, and it's kind of the same on many days, share, play nice. And from admissions, I moved into student affairs. I oversaw residence life for a few years. And then from there, just kind of took on different tasks, different roles, different assignments. And John Kennedy, who was vice president of student life here for 30 years, was my mentor. And he really helped teach me the how this business works. I learned a lot from him and was able to, when he retired, step into that role.
Wow. And how long have you been a student? You said you were student advisor for... How long?
Res Life, you mean?
Yeah, Res Life.
I did Res Life for... I directly oversaw Res Life for about 5-6 years. And then Res Life still reports to me.
Yeah.
But I haven't... It's been a while since up until this year with the change that I've been working with Res Life. But I've always been kind of looped into it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And how long have you been a Dean of Students?
What are we, 2016? 4 years? 3 or 4 years
four
now.
4 years. Yeah. And for freshmen, because when I came, I'm like, what's a dean? Is that a principal, would you say?
Dean is usually in higher ed, your dean kind of refers to the sort of like the chief officer at that level. So, for example, there's the academic dean. So each of the different schools, the four schools, has a dean.
Yeah.
And that the dean is the top academic officer for that respective school. The deans report to the dean. The academic deans report to the vice president of academic affairs. In the student life world, the dean of students is usually your top student affairs person, and then I report directly to President Marcy.
Okay, so do the deans of the other of the four schools, do they report to you?
No, they report to academic affairs. So basically, there's in higher ed, think of there's two tracks. There's the academic side of the house, so all of anything related to academics reports to academic affairs. And like it is here at Dominican and most other schools, the sort of non-academic side of the house, so Res Life, student activities, campus ministry, all those things you named, reports to student affairs.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And so lately you've had to put on a lot of jobs on your head.
I'm wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah, you are wearing a lot of hats.
I'm wearing a few right now. It's fun.
And how are you balancing that out? You know, I got a question from some students who said, how does he deal with stress? So we want to know, how do you deal with stress?
How do I deal with stress? Good question. You know, there's not a lot of there's times of significant stress. The flood was a little bit of a stressful, couple weeks.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of really working closely with all the people around you. I work with a fantastic team. The student life staff, they're phenomenal. You know, that's Lauren, Cashel, Leoni, Father Bob, Sister Mary, Vanessa, the whole crew. You know, we work really well. We're a great collaborative unit, and that helps. So it's not necessarily, although a lot of these things report up to me, and right now I am doing three people's jobs, I've got a great team that I work with that is able to, you know, take things off my plate or help out when, you know, other things come up. So that's, you do what you have to do. And fortunately, you know, Dominican students are great. And they're, you all are fantastic in the sense that when things come up, you'll voice your concerns or you'll talk about what's going on. We work together to figure out how we can help you all. And trying to coach students to take ownership of situations. If there's a problem with a roommate or a faculty member, whatever it is, let's talk about what students can do to solve the problem themselves with the right tools and skills, you know?
Yeah, because something known to college students is they don't really take advantage of the resources given to them. And I know there's some things that I didn't even know we had, which I just started to pick up on, which is really good. And but going off of what you said about taking on three jobs, why is that? Like, what happened previously? And because I know previously you just had a big change and you had to, of course, you had to wear extra hats.
So what happened that I got three jobs?
Yeah.
I won the lottery. So we had, there were some staffing issues. So basically what happened was Levi Shanks, who most returning students know from last year, was our director of student rights and responsibilities. He was leaving to go back to grad school to get his PhD. So he's back in Michigan State right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just talked to him actually last week. He said he's never had to read so much in his life. So he's doing that. And then right before the beginning of the year, Laura Lee left from housing. And so it's tough in the sense that to hire in this business in student affairs, you typically do that in the spring and summer.
Yeah.
We got a late start replacing Levi because we modified the position. So the new person coming in, who we just hired someone, she'll be starting on the 21st of November, will be coming in as the Associate Dean of Students.
So she's your assistant?
She's not. Well, she's basically reports to me. She's like my number two.
Okay.
So she will be handling all student conduct cases, the campus care team. She'll be overseeing student health center and counseling services. So she'll be taking a lot of the stuff that's right now on my plate off, and she'll be taking care of that. She's got a great background. She actually has a background in mental health.
Oh, wow.
So she's going to be really good. She's going to be a great fit for Dominican. And then with housing, those positions typically get filled in spring and summer. So we're going to do a search. If we get the right person for the position, we'll get them on board as soon as possible. If not, we'll continue to kind of manage this by committee until the end of the year, and then we'll get someone replaced in the summer.
Another big question I got, which is, this is what's shaking. So there's rumors.
What's shaking?
There's rumors. There's things going around. People want to know, why is Laura Lee no longer here?
It's a personnel issue. What I can tell you is she's no longer with Dominican.
She's moved on.
She's moved on. Yeah. Wish her all the best. I hope everything works out for her.
Are you guys still in contact? Are you guys friends? Is she friends with the...
Yeah, she keeps... I mean, I unfortunately, I can barely keep in contact with myself some days. Yeah. I'm so busy. But yeah, she has been... she's kept in touch with the staff. You know, I know that a few folks have caught up with her. I have no idea where she is now. But, you know, again, we wish her all the best and hope everything works out for her.
Yeah, and actually, I just had a question based off of that. So she had this nice room in the back.
In Edgehill.
In Edgehill. Yep. Is that room going to be lent out to a student, or is it just going to be... saved for the next person?
It'll be saved for the next person.
Wow, that was a nice room. I went in there the other day.
Did you?
It's really nice.
How'd you get in there?
Because the Pinafore flooding. You had kids in there, so I was
just
like...
Just checking, Sandy. Just checking. DJ, whatever it is, DJ...
DJ Cheeks.
DJ Cheeks.
Okay, so going off of that, the campus housing.
Yes.
Super, super. I know you go through a lot of stress. You had to put on a lot of hats. You had to deal with everything. Like, that had to do with the... There's no housing for students. Students having a hard time finding a place to live. And other than that, my question to you is housing, the price of housing on campus, is that going to go up every year with tuition?
Not necessarily. We look at it on an annual basis. We know that it's expensive. You know, we're comparable to other schools in the Bay Area and in California. I mean, unfortunately, it's the cost of doing business in this state. It's an expensive place to live. So, you know, it does go up. You know, it's hard. We try not to make the increases we try not to make the increases so significant that they're a burden to students, because we understand it costs a lot of money to go to school here. But you have to keep in mind that our costs go up every year. You know, every year electricity gets bumped up, water gets bumped up, you know, internet gets bumped up. Every little thing, insurances, everything, every time there's a little bump for us, it's more money the university has to spend.
Yeah.
So we either have to figure out a way to reduce budgets elsewhere and not pass those direct costs on to students, or try to, you know, nudge the price up just a little bit so that we can recapture those expenses for the university.
Yeah, and is, because I know with the housing comes a meal plan. So is the meal plan, is there going to be a stagnant price? It's, you pay this, like, it's not going to go up too?
It could go up because the cost of food keeps going up. You know, that's the challenge with the meal plan, is that that's essentially kind of a pass-through account. So what we get charged by our food service provider is what we have to pay out. There, so that students know, at most institutions, and it's the case here at Dominican, your resident students always pay a little bit more than, you know, if you're just coming in off the street.
Yeah.
Because there's all the, in addition to the cost of food, there's, you know, the water, there's the power, there's the, you know, the personnel, the staffing. A meal plan is a significant expense for a university, having a food providing service on campus. So, you know, those costs are not insignificant. What we're trying to do is make sure, though, that, I mean, years ago, what it cost students with the meal plan and what it cost you if you're walking in off the street was pretty significant gap. And we've increased the cost for people who just, you know, come in to Cal Arega every now and then and order a meal. We've raised those costs to make them more comparable, because it's not fair for the students to have to, you know, the students on the meal plan to have to incur that burden.
Yeah, and so... Why would you say it's mandatory for students who live on campus to have a meal plan? Is that to cover, so it's not like you don't pick and choose, we just need a set budget? Like, why?
It's mandatory for a couple of reasons. One, we have to make sure you're being fed, because there's no place on campus for you to prepare meals, right? There's no kitchen facilities. If we had residence halls that had kitchen facilities, like some other schools have built modern residence halls with, like, basically apartments with kitchens.
Yeah.
If you live there, you likely would not have to have a meal plan. Or maybe you would have a very set few number of meals each week. We have to make sure that you get food, so you have a meal plan, which is why we have the options of 10, 14, and 19 kind of a deal. But we want to make sure you've got meals, that we're providing you that service, so it's built into the cost of essentially living on campus.
Okay, that is a solid answer. So why can't it be that students who don't go this, like, because I know I don't always use up all my meals, like, is there a thing where it'll roll over, or I get this certain amount back? Because I know students who go home every single weekend. Thursday night, they're out. After the Thursday class, they're gone. So isn't that really – it's not really fair to them.
So there's some schools that what they do is it's a declining balance if you do that model. What we have is an all-you-can-eat model. So if you get 14 meals a week, you come in for lunch, you want to get three pieces of pizza, you eat those, great, and then you decide 10 minutes later you're still hungry, you want to get a hamburger, get yourself a hamburger. It's all one price for as much as you can eat. Other schools, what they do is you actually come in, you get your food, and then you go through the cashier, the swipe card, mm-hmm. on your way into the main dining hall, and you basically get deducted money or points from your pass, mm-hmm. Before eating. So if you wanted to, after eating, you know, your three pieces of pizza and drinking a soda, if you wanted to get more food, you could do that, but then you'd have to swipe again and deduct that balance. So it really just depends on how you want to negotiate those contracts, yeah. with food service providers. There's pros and cons to both.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we're talking about exploring some other options with food service with the changeover from our previous provider to Epicurean. Now it happened so quickly a year ago. We just needed to get them in, and we didn't want to change things too much. We have talked to them about, okay, it's been a year now. Let's see how this year goes. Every summer we meet and say, okay, what's working, what's not working, what can we do? But if the students really felt passionate about, they want to see some different, you know, a different style, it's certainly something we can talk about.
Yeah, and I know you guys are really good about listening to what the students have to say, which is always really good, because you don't want to not listen to us. Like, we're the reason you guys are here and stuff. Like, I don't want to say that, like, in a bad way.
Well, we always try to listen to what's going on with you guys.
But
you're not so much, but
but so are you saying, like, so Cal Rega, the hours are, I know the hours, 7 a.m. to 9:30
and 11:30 to 1:30 or 2. Yeah.
So if I went in at 11:30 and I ate a pizza and I'm like, oh, I'm still hungry at 1 o'clock, can I go back in?
No, that's the thing. Once you have, so that's an interesting thing, because once you've essentially left the dining hall, mm-hmm. you know, you've eaten your meal. So what we've had, one of the problems with this plan is that students, and this is the kind of the issue why students ask about to-go boxes,
yeah.
you know, why you can't get a to-go box.
Yeah.
You can get a to-go box if you have a legitimate reason for not being able to eat in the dining hall. So for example, you have a class that ends at 11:30, your next class starts at, you know, 11:50, and yeah. your 20 minutes is going to be tough to have a meal, but you'll be done with class at 1 o'clock or whatever, 1:30. So if you show the schedule to the manager, Jim up there, he'll basically approve it, and he'll give you a little sticker on your P card that says you're eligible for a to-go box on these days.
Yeah.
They'll totally work. Athletes, it happens all the time.
Yeah, right? I have some of those.
Yeah, so the problem is if you're just a normal student, you don't have a conflict, and you come in and you eat your pizza and your hamburger, right, and then you ask for a to-go box, that you could essentially be taking food, getting a burrito or chicken wings or whatever it is you want to load up in that to-go box, and then you could basically be giving it to someone else. So now essentially what's happening is our food service provider is losing money because they're only charging you for that 14 meals, you know, a week.
Yeah.
But in reality, if a student did that 7 days a week, they're getting 21 meals
yeah.
for the price of 14. That's unfair.
But what if, let's say today, I'm not feeling good. I can't sit in Cal Rega. Can I get a to-go box?
Yeah, if it's something like last minute, usually yeah. they're pretty accommodating. Sometimes if it's kind of a planned thing, you know you're going to be sick for a few days, you can go to the health center and they'll write you a note saying, you know, it'd be great if we could get DJ Cheeks, you know, a to-go box for the next few days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know we could do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we really only do it for legitimate reasons.
Yeah.
We do not want to get students in the habit of saying, well, I'm going to have a busy week coming up, so it'd be great if I can get my meals to go.
Yeah.
No, part of this also is educating students on you've got to make time.
Yeah, time management.
To take a break, sit down, have some food, visit with your friends. Like, it's not always go, go, go. You need time for yourself to take care of yourself.
Yeah. So that's not like the only question I had in Cal Rega, but that's like one of the main issues, because
yep.
I had students send me in questions, and that's something they were really concerned about. And like going off of the Cal Rega issues and stuff, some people had questions on why those times were chosen. And to my understanding, it's the times that's more open, because today during lunch, Cal Rega is filled up, so obviously
yeah.
that time slot is perfect.
Yeah.
But they wanted to know why those times. So what can you say about that?
We actually did a study a couple years ago trying to find the best time for students, and it was, turns out the times that we have right now do, in terms of the academic schedule, are the least conflicting.
Yeah, I agree.
The big thing that comes up for students is the evening time. That seems to be the one where students wish they could have, you know, that instead of having dinner starting at 5, you'd start like at 7, go like 7 to 9 or something. The challenge there is it's tough, because if you're a student who has class at 12:05 and you go in at 11:30 and you get a sandwich and a salad and you run to class, now you're waiting 7-8 hours before you get your next meal. So we basically pick those hours based on the times that kind of work best based on the academic schedule.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's tough for athletes sometimes because of practices. I know it's tough like the Lions ballet students because they're in the city. There's never going to be an ideal time. And because we only have about 475 residents, you know, we also, unlike larger schools that have, you know, whatever, 3,000 people living on campus, they've got expanded hours in their dining facilities because they just have a bigger population. You know, we're a smaller population, so we're trying to work with, there's just so many different things that we're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know?
So going off of that, can we, a student wanted me to ask you, can we have a Starbucks cart on campus? Coffee cart instead of Chili's? Because Chili's closed at 2, and realistically, we have more night classes. I don't know if you have more night classes than day classes, but there's still night classes offered. And
Chili's doesn't close at 2.
They close at 8.
Yeah.
And so that eliminates.
Yeah. So basically, can we have a Starbucks-specific cart on campus? No, because Epicurean is our food service provider. We have the contract with them. Here's the thing about the cafe. We used to be open until 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
On average, we averaged it out. Okay, between the hours of 8 and 10. Take a guess as to what the sales was in food or drinks combined, anything.
I can't expect it to be high.
Take a guess.
$10.
Not even? $7.38 or something like that. So basically, we were keeping it open and not even covering the costs of the employee.
Yeah.
So I get that it would be a nice option, but it's sort of like, you know, there's a supply and demand kind of a thing.
Yeah.
If we had 50 students who every night were using the cafe and they were buying coffees or snacks or whatever, by all means, we would keep it open.
Yeah.
But when the vast majority of the students are not using that space,
yeah,
you can't afford to do that.
But is there something in motion to, because Keller get closed at 7:30.
Yeah.
This is a college campus. It's Marin. There's not many places open for students to eat.
Yeah, where does everyone go? They like to go to Jack, KFC,
yeah,
KFC, Taco Bell down the street.
Unhealthy options,
yeah.
And Jack in the Box, KFC closes at 10. Taco Bell closes at 12. There's not many options.
Wait, the same restaurant? One closes at 10, one closes at 12?
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous. Okay.
So it's like, what is there a thing in place where we can eat on campus? Like, is there a plan?
Is there something in place for expanding those hours right now? No.
If there's
certainly options to consider. I mean, one of the things that we looked at, I've been approached in the past is healthy vending machines that.
Oh, yeah.
Where they kind of like the one that's in Penaforth there. They've got the Coke machine and the ice cream machine and whatever, the snack machine there is. You eliminate one of those and you put in something that has like, you know, fresh sandwiches and fruit and yogurts. And every couple days, the company comes in and they
restock it.
They restock it. So, you know, the food's fresh. It's like basically having a sandwich, you know, in your fridge for a couple days. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
The issue, though, is usage. So we did a pilot with something like that a few years ago and we had it there. We actually had it in Fanjo. There was a sign you could go over and get that. And same, it was kind of like the Chili's cafe after 8 o'clock at night. The items were just sitting in there and they weren't getting sold.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So it's, you know, when I talk to a lot of students and I like when students come in and they tell me what the challenges are, what the issues are. And I always encourage them, come up with some solutions. Give me some ideas, you know? And one of the things that they like to say is, well, everybody says, and I kind of pause and say, everybody? So you've talked to 1,783 of your peers on this campus, and they're all in agreement. You know, and they say, well, my friends. So is your friends 5? Is it 50? Is it 150? I mean, give me a real number.
Yeah.
I mean, if this is a challenge for 8 to 10 students, I get that it's a challenge, but it's 8 to 10 students. If it's 80 to 100 students, it's a different issue.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to do everything we can to support students, but we can't do everything for everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, going off that, we're going to take our very first break.
Are we sponsored by?
By Penguin Radio.
By Penguin Radio, okay.
Stay tuned. This is DJ Cheeks here at radio.dominican.edu. I'm going to play you a song that, today's November 8th, and did you vote?
I did vote.
Okay, and the song I'm going to play, it kind of stands with who I'm voting for. After this, I'm going to go vote. So stay tuned. This is by YG here at radio.dominican.edu. This song is called FDT. I can't say the words, but stay tuned.
And, like, I guess people, what's going on in America, they're afraid we're going to say something or do something, but we just really want to watch the rally. And to get kicked out because we're a group of black people is really crazy. It just shows you how racist our own school is, that we can't even go to our own school company.
Donald Trump, yeah. I like white folks, but I don't like you. All of the end in the hood wanna fight you. Surprise El Chapo ain't tried to snipe you. Surprise the nation of Islam ain't tried to find you. Have a rally out LA, we gon' fuck it up. Home of the riding, the king ride, we don't give a fuck. All black students ejected from your rally. What? I'm ready to go right now, your racist ass did too much. I'm about to turn Black Panther. Don't let Donald Trump win that in cancer. He too rich, he ain't got the answers. He can't make decisions for this country, he gon' crash us. No, we can't be a slave for him. He got me appreciating Obama way more. Hey, Donald, and everyone that follows, you gave us your reason to be president, but we hate
Donald Trump.
I don't like your ass.
Donald Trump.
In my trip and let me know. I thought all that Donald Trump shit was a joke. Know what they say when rich niggas go broke. Look, Reagan so cold, Obama so hope, Donald Trump spent his trust for money on the vote. I'm from a place where you probably can't go. Speaking for some people that you probably ain't know. There's pressure built up and it's probably gonna blow. And if we say go, then they probably gonna go. You vote Trump, then you probably on dope. And if you like me, then you probably ain't know. And if you been in jail, you could probably still vote. We let this win, we gon' probably feel broke. You build walls, we gon' probably dig holes. And if your ass do win, you gon' probably get smoked.
Donald Trump.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
Yeah.
Hold up. For Mexicans, got a plug with Mexicans. When a little need a switch, who I call Mexican. It's Comedy Central. I'll come be the president. Hold up, Nip, tell the world how you fuck for Mexicans.
It wouldn't be the USA without Mexicans. And if it's time to team up, let's begin. Black love, brown pride, and a sense again. White people feel the same as my next kin. Let this win. God bless the kids.
God bless the kids.
It's wicked and weird. All right, welcome back. This is DJ Cheeks here at radio.dominican.edu. That song right there was F Donald Trump, because I hope nobody voted for him. Do you mind telling us who you voted for, Paul?
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
I think Hillary Clinton is, number one, I think she cares about the future of this country. I think she understands that we live in a diverse society, and we need to not just acknowledge our diversity, we need to celebrate that diversity, we need to reach out, and we need to unify as a country. I think she spent her entire life in politics. She understands how politics works. She is so wildly qualified to be president. And it's time that this country has a woman in the highest role. I mean, and full
Preach.
Period stop. Full period stop. We need, there are so many other countries out there that have had and have women as their leaders. This country needs to, it's 2016. We are so long overdue.
Yes.
You know where I stand.
Can you tell us why you don't like Donald Trump? Because I could go on and on about why I don't. Why he's not fit to be president. I'm going to tell you something funny right now. You know Stevie Wonder?
Not personally, but I know.
No, yeah, but yeah. So he said yesterday, Donald Trump running for president, he's like asking me to drive a car. Which is, I found out so funny because it's a perfect analogy because he's just not fit. He has no experience. He says he's not a politician, but then he claims he is. He claims he said things he never said, but there's like proof he did say it.
So the reason I did not vote for Donald Trump, there are many. Number one, his comments over the past 7-8 months have been deplorable. How he refers to women, how he refers to people of diverse backgrounds is absolutely intolerable, and there is no place for that in the highest office in this nation. He is, for those grounds alone, he is not qualified to be the president of the United States of America. Beyond that, he's a businessman, and yes, politics is business, but you look at his track record with businesses. You know, he talks about making America great again and bringing jobs and so on and so forth. He has basically, his entire billionaire existence is because he exploits other nations. He gets, you know, he exploits the common person in America by not paying them when they do jobs for him, and he gets his products from overseas. I mean, the irony is the Make America Great Again hats that you see his supporters wearing are made in China.
Wow.
Or as he would say, China.
That was a good impersonation.
Yeah. We have real problems in this country, and I'm not saying that Hillary Clinton is the person to solve them all, but I believe she understands Washington well enough, and she has enough experience in her various roles of Secretary of State and everything else. She's a First Lady alone. She had insider's view of the White House.
Yeah.
She knows who she has to network with, who she has to build alliances with to fix what's going on in this country.
Exactly. And just staying on this presidential topic, so Dominican hosted a college debate.
Yes.
And to be quite honest with you, nobody knew what that was about except the people in it. So I'm confused. What?
You know, so it's and I'm glad you said that, because I think that, you know, in retrospect, there are probably some things we could have done better to reach out to our students. You know, there was even some faculty members who kind of expressed some confusion. The entire college debate program was very much an ongoing evolution. And I mean, quite literally, it was, you know, it every day, sometimes four times a day, things kept changing. I think when all was said and done, we did a very good thing that demonstrated to not only people inside Dominican, but to the broader community, that when we talk about Dominicans' commitment to civic engagement, it's not just lip service. I mean, we were able to gather students from across the country and get them talking about the issues that mattered most to young voters.
Yeah.
You know, never mind Republican, Democrat, were they pro-Hillary, pro-Trump? It didn't matter. It was about those top five issues that they identified as being important, not only to them, but to the future of this country. And that's what democracy is about. That's what, you know, when we talk about engaging young people, you're the future of this country. And as an educational institution, our job and our responsibility is to make sure that you are engaged now in this educational environment so that you can inform yourselves about why things are the way they are, learn more about them, become more educated so that you can go out and influence your peers in your networks once you leave Dominican about why this is important, why we need to head in this or that direction.
Okay. And so, like, you just kind of gave like a summary of what it was.
Yeah.
But where, like, I'm still kind of confused, like, what role did we play? Because I'm seeing all these people from North Carolina and all these places.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? I don't know why you're here. You're at my school. I don't know the reason what we're even hosting. So it's like, There's so many unanswered questions.
So what we did was we convened 150 delegates from all 50 states, representing community colleges, public institutions, private institutions, big schools, tiny schools, everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
The students, in terms of their demographics, were a representation of what America looks like. All different backgrounds, everything. What our intent was, and we came really close, was to have students, like I said, identify these top issues, and through social media, engage their peers, their networks, around wherever their networks are, to get students talking about why these issues are important to them, what you should consider when you're talking about immigration, what you should consider when you're talking. So really, why is immigration important? Why is, you know, why is healthcare important? Why is gun control? Whatever the issues that emerge, these conversations.
Oh, okay.
And then when we narrow down to those top five, actually six questions because foreign policy had a tie, the objective was to use social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, to blast those questions out to the moderators of the debates with the intent and the hope that they would pick those up and they would ask one of, during one of the three or four debates with the vice presidential one, they would ask one of those questions. Now, unfortunately, they did not ask the specific questions developed by the candidates, by the CD16 delegates. I mean, let's be clear, the questions, they didn't even ask any of their own questions because candidates went off the rails at the time.
Yeah.
But the topics that we that emerged from those questions were at least, you know, touched upon at the debates. So at the end of the day, even though the questions didn't get asked, we did our job as an educational institution of engaging students in in the political sphere.
Okay, now I understand.
Makes sense?
You know, it makes a lot of sense. It makes definitely makes sense.
And there were something like 18, 19 Dominican students who were Dominican delegates who were part of it, you know, and there were activities. You probably went to some of them both last spring and this fall.
I took a lot of shirts, I'll tell you that.
I know, good. I see you wearing them, and you keep asking me for free shirts, DJ Cheeks. I'm all out. So I got a pen for you here. And we'll continue. We'll probably do something after the results come in tonight, or you know, the next few days with whatever happens. We'll continue to talk about what this means for the country.
Yeah, as a college student, you tell me something free shirts, free cups. I'm there.
Yeah, I know.
But something else that was off of that was it was said that, you know, I had to bring up the topic about the Wi-Fi. It was said that the Wi-Fi would be, it would get better with the debates coming in. Like the debates coming, we're getting donations. This Wi-Fi is going to be popping.
Yeah. So we didn't quite hit that as out of the park that we thought we were going to work. Yeah, I know you know. So here's the thing with the Wi-Fi. When the infrastructure was built for the internet, it was put in, you know, with all the major upgrades 10 years ago. I don't know the exact date, but let's just say 10 years ago. It was designed for people to plug in their computers via an Ethernet cable to that little outlet in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It was not designed with the notion that, you know, in a very short amount of time, we were all going to be on, you know,
wireless.
I mean, 10 years ago, a laptop computer cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, now you can pick up a netbook for $600 kind of a thing. So
still a lot of money, but.
Well, it is. But compared to $2,500, it's a lot less, right? So you're right. It's a lot of money for a college student. I'm sorry. We have an infrastructure that if everyone plugged into the wall, we'd have a great internet capabilities on campus. The problem is you all have mobile devices, and you typically don't just have one. You have a laptop and you have a phone, or you have a laptop and a tablet and a phone, or you have a laptop and two phones, or two laptops and a phone. So basically every student is coming with at least one, more likely two devices that are always pulling bandwidth, you know? And what happens is, especially like on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights in the residence halls, late at night, people decide they want to watch Netflix and they want to binge House of Cards or whatever, you know, The Walking Dead. And the minute you get a few too many people drawing in something like Netflix or Hulu or whatever, which are huge bandwidth, I mean, that just sucks the bandwidth, it bogs down everything. You know, if there was a way for us, and I'm not saying we're doing this, but that we could block those kinds of sites that had that pull that kind of significant bandwidth, it'd be fine. You'd all be able to get on a Moodle because things like email and Moodle, that kind of stuff, that doesn't take much bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gaming, it's the videos that really starts to suck the life out of the internet. And so what we have to do now is to get to the issue. We need to redirect our resources, and IT is already working on this. It's a money thing. We have to figure out how to make it happen, but we need to put in more. We have here. Think of it this way. There's a big pipe where all the internet traffic comes through on campus.
Mm-hmm.
The pipe is big enough to support all of our needs, right? But that's just the one pipe. Off of all of those pipes are other smaller pipes that feed like the wireless hubs, the routers, that kind of a thing. There aren't enough of those other little pipes. And so what's happening is you have a lot of traffic in a little pipe trying to get to the bigger pipe, and it's jamming up. If we can get some more hubs, you know, build the Wi-Fi, the wireless capacity, the problem will start to diminish. The issue is that it's not as simple as just going down to the Apple store and getting an Airport Express router for your room in your house, you know, and you can suddenly you get better internet coverage. These are, you'll see them in those classrooms. There's those white boxes with the blue light on them that have like four antenna.
Yeah.
They're not cheap because they've got to be able to handle a big draw. And so those things are expensive, and we have to put a lot of those in a lot of places.
So can you give us like an estimate, like when can we, because 3 years I've been at Dominican, Wi-Fi has been horrible all 3 years. So yeah. When is this shift? When can we be comfortable? Like the Wi-Fi is okay.
Yeah.
Because I can't even say that right now.
Yeah. I don't know when that's going to happen. I'd have to look into that and get back to you. Mm-hmm. I know that one of the problems last year was with the actual pipe.
Yeah.
There was a, Peter Menser, who's in charge of IT, is fantastic. He caught a big problem with the way the layout was, and he basically switched it. So now, basically, the flow of data is unrestricted, and we've got it much. It's much smoother. It's a matter of getting everyone into that pipe, so we can utilize it. So I know that it's something they're looking at right now. Is it going to get infinitely better in the next month? No. Are we going to try to do things over the course of the year to start improving it? Yes. You know, but don't expect it to go from what it is now to
something better.
To something that's, you know, phenomenal, and you won't have a problem like by the end of the spring. It's not going to be that good. It's going to take some time to get there.
Yeah. Okay, so the fact that, you know, as basketball players, we stay here over winter break.
Yeah.
And I know I have to wrap you up real quick, but just a final, like, I have two final questions for you. When we're here over winter break, is there going to be work being done, or can we guarantee it could be okay since there's not many people here on campus? And you said since people, these pipes are being like, how you explained it, since there's not many people here, is the Wi-Fi going to be better?
Yeah, the Wi-Fi will be better over break because there won't be that many people on campus using it. Yeah, so,
and I'm going to quote you on that.
Yeah, sure, quote me on that.
Okay.
I mean, if there's something happens beyond my control, like a couple of the routers go down or something, it's not my fault. You know,
I'm gonna call you up.
You call me. I won't answer.
Why can't my Netflix
block that call? Block that number, DJ Cheeks.
Why can't my Netflix load? Why can't I watch?
I'll be like, hey, you know what? You should not be doing Netflix right now. You should be doing an internship. You are here. So, and here's the other thing. You know, keep in mind. Yeah, we understand that this is your home, and we want you guys to have access to great Wi-Fi to be able to do, you know, play your Xbox, your PlayStation, or watch your movies or whatever. But that's not our primary concern.
True.
You know. I mean, at the end of the day, if Netflix is bad, but you all can get online and get to Moodle and get to the library or whatever, I can live with that.
Yeah.
I can live with that, you know? And go old school and actually put in, there's this things called DVDs. They're little round things. They're kind of shiny. And there's a player, and you put them in. They're fantastic.
I don't even think they make those anymore.
They don't, probably.
There's no red box around. But you used to go to Blockbusters or something?
No, Blockbuster's been dead for years.
But you're old, so.
Thank you.
I'm kidding. Okay, so final question, because you have to leave. About Bernie. So how did Dominican get Bernie to come here? That's huge. I was going to vote for Bernie.
Who's Bernie?
Bernie Sanders.
I'm just kidding. That's part of the Dominicans Institute for the ILS Institute for Leadership Studies.
Yeah.
That's ILS partners with Book Passage, mm-hmm. which is a book retailer here in Marin County. And Bernie's got his book coming out. I forgot what the title of it is, but he's coming to Marin. And so when these big authors come to Marin as part of our agreement with Book Passage, they don't have the facility to host these events, so we bring them here to Dominican.
Yeah.
And in exchange for them, you know, using the space and partnering with us, we get tickets for faculty and staff and students.
Why weren't they free this time?
That's beyond our control. I think sometimes, you know, for some authors, we're able to, you know, they're able to either subsidize the costs or it's all kind of based on the publisher and how they do things. And Bernie right now is kind of a big ticket.
He was sold out in like a day or two. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah, well, it's whatever happens tonight. I mean, he's going to very much be, you know, if Hillary wins tonight, he's going to be, I think, a very strong supporter of her. But he has his agenda, and he's going to continue to challenge her to do the things that he thinks as a senator are best for this country. And if Trump should win tonight, he's most certainly going to be an outspoken critic. If how he sees the country moving is not, you know, congruent with his beliefs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, DJ Cheeks.
You have some meeting that's not as important as this.
No, this is it's an important meeting, but this is fantastic. This is a lot of fun. I'd be happy to come back and talk to you again.
Yeah. Thank you. So
maybe you can demo my CD.
Maybe.
But thank you. You know what a CD is?
Yes, I know what a CD is.
Okay, just making sure because I'm old.
But thank you so much for joining us. We're really glad you came. I've gotten a lot of texts.
Who texted?
You know, people text.
Well, who are people?
People are listening.
I got a few minutes. Let me see. Who texted you? What did they say?
It's just like we have like.
You are avoiding. Now it's my turn to pepper you. Why why are you not answering the question, DJ Cheeks?
Because my show, I ask you don't ask me.
Okay. So much for our democratic society.
Oh, my God. But don't you have this meeting to get to?
No, I can. I walk fast. I'm not that old.
You didn't walk fast over here.
Because I was nervous.
Okay, good answers.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. Your mic's still on. They heard you.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye. So that was our dean of students, Paul, a very big deal on campus, as he said. He actually is a very big deal.
You said that.
That
was a big deal. You said I was a big deal.
But he's a character, as you could tell. It was a pleasure having him, and now I'm going to wrap up. This has been DJ Cheeks here at radio.dominican.edu. Stay tuned for DJ Beefcake at 2 o'clock, and right after her is, oh, sorry, at 2 o'clock we have DJ Gaines. At 3 o'clock we have DJ Beefcake, and at 4 o'clock my homie DJ Duncan. So stay tuned here at radio.dominican.edu.